Well, in this season following Trinity Sunday, which was last Sunday, we're looking at the subject of Christian assurance. How can I be sure that I'm a Christian? And I thought that was an important thing to look at because many, many churchgoers are unsure about this. And I think the reason is because we imagine that being a Christian is about whether I'm good enough to earn God's approval. So I hear people saying things like, oh, I do my best, Vicar, or I do hope so, I try hard. But the Bible tells us that being a Christian is actually about having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's about being adopted as a child of God. And good parents want their children to be secure about their relationship with them, don't they? We don't want our children to be worrying that if they behave badly, they might be thrown out or disowned. I know it's tempting sometimes, but you actually don't really want to do that, do you? You want your children to know that they're secure in their family. And the same is true with God and his relationship with us. He wants us to know that we are his. And so the Bible makes it very clear that we shouldn't be in any doubt about this. First letter of John, for example. John says this, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Would you like to know that you are safe? Would you like to be secure in your faith? Not because of anything you've done, but because of God's promises. I was inspired recently by a good phrase in an article, a professor. He said this, we're encouraging tentative Christians to become faithful, and faithful Christians to become witnesses. I think in many ways that is the job of the church today. So many of us are tentative about our faith in Christ, aren't we? But we're not meant to be like that. We should be tentative about our own qualities, maybe, our own goodness and so on, but firm about Christ, clear that we trust him. And he calls us to be faithful. And once we are faithful, trusting firmly in him, then we're called to point to him, to show other people about him. I was watching on the internet a Bible study from Lambeth Palace, the Archbishop of Canterbury, and Archbishop Justin was reading the story about John the Baptist and the way that he pointed to Jesus and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And Archbishop Justin said, actually, that's what we should be doing today, simply pointing to Jesus, showing people this is the one that we should follow, that witness to Christ. Last Sunday, of course, was Trinity Sunday. And so we thought about the nature of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you've spotted those words in our creed, for example, today. What we call the Trinity. God is one God, one nature, one will. But three persons, three ways of coming to us and communicating with us. Now, I know some people find that difficult because Trinity isn't in the Bible. The word Trinity was first used in the 2nd century, 100 years after our Bible was completed. And the doctrine of the Trinity developed even later. But the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are there throughout the Bible, from first to last. But it took a little while before Christians could stand back and see the big picture. But that's relevant to our subject of assurance. How can I be sure that I'm a Christian? Well, there are three ways, and Tim's kindly put a picture up on the screen there. The Word of God the Father in the Bible, the work of God the Son, on the cross, and the witness of God the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So the Word of God the Father refers to the promises of God in our Bibles, in Scripture. One of the most famous ones, cherished promises, for instance, is in Revelation 3, where Jesus promises Christians, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." Perhaps you know the painter Holman Hunt painted that image in Revelation. He painted it three times, actually. He was so impressed with it. Jesus Christ standing at the ivy-covered door of your life, knocking, asking to come in, asking for you to open the door and let him in. In John 10, our reading that we heard earlier, Jesus promises his followers, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand." Can you hear the promise of safety and security there? Or another one, at the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus promises, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So in other words, even if we can't see him, even if he's ascended to heaven, he said, "I'm with you. I will be with you always, even to the end of history." And so Scripture is full of promises. The Bible is full of God's faithfulness to his people, even if we are fickle and faithless. The Word of God the Father is the first thing, the promises of God to us in the Bible. And then briefly, and we'll look at these a bit more in the coming weeks, the second one is the work of God the Son, referring to Jesus' life and death and resurrection. Most importantly, what he did for us on the cross to forgive us our sins and win for us eternal life. Perhaps you remember that most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Compared with other people around us, we may be good enough, but alongside God, none of us is perfect. We've gone our own way, and our relationship with God has been spoiled by sin. And on the cross, Jesus took all of our wrongdoing onto himself and suffered and died for us. And that's a historical event. It's a fact. He has done it, and it can't be denied. And then the third point is the witness of God the Holy Spirit, referring to God's interaction with us, his communication with us by his Holy Spirit, connecting with our human spirits. If you go around and ask people, most people have had some sort of experience of God in their lives. And when we become Christians, we ask God, we ask Jesus to be our personal Saviour and Lord. And what happens when we do that is that God gives us his Holy Spirit to come and to be with us and to dwell with us, so that we're never alone again. That's always meant a lot to me, actually. I was an only child, so I grew up actually on my own, with parents, of course, but not with brothers and sisters and a crowd of friends and so on. So it meant a lot to me when I heard that promise that God would give us the Spirit of Jesus to be with me forever, so I would never, ever be alone again. And the Holy Spirit comes to us and begins to help us, to guide us, to improve our character, to make us more loving like Jesus, to speak to us and prompt us what God's will is. And so we begin to experience God's presence more clearly in our daily lives. So what I want to assure you is that it's not arrogant to be sure that you're a Christian. And the reason is this, because it's not based on you trying hard or you being good. It's based on what God has promised. It's based on what Jesus died to achieve. And it's based on the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So every Christian should be confident about our relationship with our Father. We should be sure that we are Christians. And we should be sure that we have eternal life. So I want to ask you to just pray for a moment with me. And maybe you're still a little unsure whether you are a Christian, whether you've taken that step to follow Jesus. But if you have done that, if you have taken that step, then he reassures us that he is with us and that we are his. So let's just bow our heads for a moment and pray. If you've not actually given your life to Jesus or prayed that prayer, I'm going to pray a prayer in a moment now, and you can pray along with me under your breath. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have given your life for me. There are many things that I've done wrong in my life, and I say sorry for those now. I thank you that on the cross you died to forgive me for my sins and to bring me eternal life. Now I open the door of my life to you. I ask you to come to me and be my Lord and Saviour, and give me your Holy Spirit to be with me forever. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you have prayed that prayer, and if you've said, yes, please, Jesus, I want to be yours, then be assured by the word of God the Father, the work of Jesus the Son, and the witness of the Holy Spirit that you are his and he is yours.